Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I wish we'd explored that on air, because you wrote it in 3 months. It took me 3 years to write.
Oh, wow, that's why yours is much better. We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week is Snap P episode
23.
Thank you. I forgot. How did you know?
I just knew you were going to forget. This is the joys of working
with Mandy.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's pretty awesome actually, because I don't often remember more than people. This gives me a little bit of
the perfect partner.
I really do. Okay, this podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word. So if you don't want people to hear that, then just put your headphones on and enjoy some peace and quiet. Well, it's not really peace and quiet, is it?
Not the squawkers.
Not the squawkers. But anyway. Hello, we've got a super exciting guest.
Yes.
This is the first time in my life I've actually interviewed an author.
Exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. I feel like a real person.
Yeah. Well, we both really like to read.
We really love to read.
And I'm not sure if we've really said about that on the podcast.
No, because we were going to do a books episode, but we haven't. Then the pandemic hit and, you know.
The rest is history.
So next year we'll do a books episode. And this book will be in there,
I
think.
Yes.
So we are speaking today to Fiona Higgins. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, Mandy. Hello, Kate.
Oh, it's lovely to have you.
Very excited to hear you. Maybe we will ask you our three questions and then we'll launch into what the book is and the title.
Yes, let's do it.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
So the first question is, do you have a favourite song or music that either gets you through good times or bad times?
Yeah, well, depending upon what the mood is,
I
choose one of two things. The first is Happy by C2C featuring Derek Martin, and it just basically repeats the same line, which is, you'll never feel happy until you try, which I kind of... Do you know that one?
No, I don't know it.
No, you never heard it?
No, I'm going to listen to
it. Well, I heard it. Yeah, and it just repeats the same line over and over again until it says... This song is not a gospel song. This song is not a funk song. And my kids love that moment because, of course, funk
sounds
like another word.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
I mean, we always end up rolling around laughing about the funk song. But if I'm feeling sad or need to feel understood in music, then I will turn to Anoni's Hope There's Someone. I'm not sure if you're aware of Anoni. She's an indie artist based in New York.
No.
And Hope There's Somewhere. Someone is an amazing song involving a cello, a piano and her vocals.
Oh.
And she's an incredible transgender artist who's transitioned. She was formerly known as Anthony from Anthony and the Johnsons, and she has a deep understanding of what it's like to feel different, I think.
Yeah.
Both of those songs, as you would know, feature in the work that we will talk about at some point.
Yes.
Amazing. Actually, we've got a few P parents whose children are going through transgender, so they will really enjoy that artist. So we'll
I'll
try and remember and put in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because Arthur doesn't do them on Snap Peas.
No, that's right. We'll try.
We'll try to remember.
Did you win any awards at school, Fiona?
Yeah, I did. My first one that I have a recollection of was winning a poetry award.
Perfect.
Which was obviously appropriate given that I've ended up writing. But at the time it was a bit weird because my entry was entitled Your Local Truckee. And it was the theme of the poem was, you know, the plight of long haul truck drivers and carrying freight.
How old were you?
I was nine.
Really spoke to you.
Must have been worried about them.
Well, I wasn't from a trucking family. But for some reason I, even at that age, was trying to understand other people's experience and somehow reflect on it in writing. So
that's amazing.
I won $100.
Wow.
And it was a huge amount in 1982.
Yes.
It was like I'd won the lotto.
Yes.
Yeah, so
that's a good award. Actually, the episode which has come out last Thursday, Donna, she also won a poetry award.
She did.
So we've had two back-to-back winners.
Wow.
Here you go.
So there you go. Okay, and the big question is, why are you a P or a P friend?
Well, I'm not sure that I am. I wonder if I'm an honorary P, and I want to workshop that with you right
go
now.
Go for it.
You know, to P or not to P, I'm not sure. But
that is the question.
That's totally the question. I reckon you'll be able to pronounce me a P or not.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a fairly long-winded answer. If I start right at the beginning, I grew up in a family that was a caring family. So as in, it was a loving and affectionate family,
yeah.
But it was a family of carers. So my father had a brain illness, yeah, that affected his way of moving through the world. So he was, you know, we didn't call him neuroatypical, but he definitely was.
Mm. Yep.
And the way that manifested changed over the course of his disease and
right,
became progressively worse.
Yep.
You know, so as a child I was very, and as an adult, very familiar with that context, I suppose, of caring,
yep,
for a parent in my case, with, you know, who was neurodiverse.
Yep.
Subsequent to that, in adulthood, I have lots of friends and am a godparent of a child with additional needs.
Yep.
My godchild is, you know, on the autism spectrum, and I have lots of close friends with whom I have, you know, gone through that journey, not directly, but I suppose indirectly, friend of a P.
Yep.
Of just experiencing, you know, that whole quest for a diagnosis, possibly getting one or not.
Yeah.
The raft of medical appointments, the ups and downs, the, you know, the inflexibility of systems, bumping up against systems, medical, educational, in some cases legal. So, you know, that's something that I've known a lot of. I mean, the title of my novel is An Unusual Boy.
Yes.
In my life, I've known a lot of unusual boys, unusual girls,
yep,
unusual adults.
Yes.
I was probably a bit of an unusual kid myself. I mean, who wins a poetry competition called Your Local Truckee? I mean, you know, when it's a thoroughly middle-class, white, you know, Anglo-Saxon, you know, nine-year-old. And then, you know, I've been working in the not-for-profit sector for 20 years.
Yes.
And latterly, that has taken me into contact with families that are very much in the P space.
Yep.
I also work as a volunteer on a national suicide prevention hotline.
Mm.
And regularly, of course, we all on the phones field calls from a variety of people who need support, amongst which include those definitely who are responding to children but also adults with additional needs.
Yes.
So I don't know whether that makes me a P or not.
It's pretty close.
Pretty close. I think it's line ball. You're definitely not
maybe
a rectum.
An honorary P.
You're not a rectum. That is the truth.
And that's really all
that
matters.
God for that. That's really, totally. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, everyone's welcome in the P tribe. That's the
truth.
We're just about inclusivity.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You know. And good on you. Well, thank you for welcoming me.
Oh, of course. It's the highest praise, actually.
It is the highest praise, yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. Some people.
Better than a poetry award.
Yep, yep.
Remember that for your next interview.
We'll have to have some not rectum awards that we send out to people.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
So we got sent your book.
We did. Your publisher sent it to us.
Yes.
And I'm ashamed to say I hadn't heard of you, but I have since ordered another one of your books that's coming.
Thank you.
No, that's
which
all right.
one did you order, just out of interest?
Let me tell you.
Can't remember.
Is it something about sisters or no, what was it called?
A mother's group?
Mother's group. Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna order that.
Yes.
Because so we got sent the book and then I was like, well, does that mean we have to interview this chick? And we decided before we read it that we were going to read it not thinking that we were going to talk to you, right? Because I think it can skew what you're thinking. And if I really hated it, which I don't, we probably would have just sent a message and said, oh, that's probably not for us, you know. So the fact that we're talking to you,
absolutely.
We really liked it.
You made it, Fiona. You made it.
Thank you.
It sounds so up ourselves.
Not up ourselves.
Like we're actual.
No. It's not because of we're book reviewers. It was because the content is close to our hearts.
Yes.
So it wasn't, you know, like we read Holly's book.
Yeah.
And we both loved it and enjoyed it and spoke about reading it. But that content, whilst we're both married, didn't have this resonance to me. Do you know what I mean?
I completely understand.
Yeah, yeah. Just a completely different sort of book.
Can you tell us about where did the idea come from? How did you start writing it?
I suppose in terms of where the idea came from, it really is a function of all of those different experiences that I referred to in terms of, you know, what makes me a possible probationary P, you know, all
a
of,
pee plater.
All of, a pee plater, exactly. I guess I've just had, you know, in my life, including, you know, I've dedicated the book to an old school friend called Michael, who was not unlike the central character of this book, Jackson Curtis.
Yeah.
The idea was definitely inspired by a range of life experiences from my own family through to adult life right now and being a godparent of a child with additional needs.
Yep.
And just wanting to represent in mainstream fiction both the strengths and joys and beauty that lies in difference, but also the incredible challenge and incredible resilience of parents of children with additional needs. Mm. Now, as we know, children with additional needs, it's not a homogenous concept, just like parenting is not a homogenous concept. So the character of Jackson is a child and it's Jackson's experience and the experience of Julia, his mother. Yes. And they're both fictional characters. Mm. So no one in my life will recognize themselves in that book.
Yep.
But I think similarly to your experience, what I'm seeing in the early reviews is that people with children with both diagnoses and those that don't can really relate to parts of the book. They feel seen and heard and represented and in some way, for the most part. I've been really relieved because I was really concerned.
I bet you
were. Yeah, I bet you were.
Yeah, because I am not going to lie. I mean, I messaged Mandy. I messaged Holly. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm scared to put it down, but I'm terrified of what's coming. And I've never read a book like that, ever. But I had to finish. I had to know. And then I was saying to him, I sent Mandy constant messages through the book because I read it first. And I was like, you have to let me know, is it me because my sons are not neurotypical? Is this why this is hitting? And then when she read it, she's like, no, but it does, without giving anything away, tap into my greatest fear.
Yeah. And mine.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. So on different sides of the coin, our greatest fear.
Yeah.
So I think that was really brave of you.
Yeah. Well, and I think, thank you. And hopefully it wasn't too triggering for both of you.
It did make my heart actually race.
Yeah.
I've never had a physical response to a book.
Yeah.
So
I have only a little life, and that book is, you know.
Yes, that book. I'm with you.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Wild Swans. Okay, they're the two ones, all right? I might keep remembering, but they're books that have remained with me.
Yeah, I've had books that remained with me, but my pulse actually went up.
Yes.
Like I was like, and I was so frustrated at times. Like I wanted to be Julia's friend. I wanted to talk to her and go, listen, this is what you need to do.
Did you?
Yes, I really did. Which, you know.
Well, I could identify her. I was just like, I am her.
No,
like,
I am not her.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Yeah.
I think my resistance at first, to be like really honest, was I was like, how can someone write this if they're not a parent?
Yeah.
But then that makes sense to me because you've got lots of pee experience.
Yeah.
But at first I was like, I don't know if she can write this. Yeah. This is.
But then I think I actually couldn't, apart from the fact that I can't write a novel, if I wrote anything like this, then people would say that you're drawing on your child's life, which wouldn't be fair to them or me.
Right.
So really,
in
my opinion, which you can, people can dispute because that's fine, I think it has to be written by someone just with a close lived experience but not actual lived experience. Unless you are the person and you grew up with that, then yes, you need to write the book. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a I do, and it's a really interesting conversation. And I think Craig Silvey's been, you know, exposed to a similar kind of conversation with his latest work, Honeybee, which is about a transgender girl, who is a biological boy, and in the novel. And Craig Silvey, I think the first review that came out was somebody was asking the question. You know, how can a heterosexual Brisbane-based father of two really mine this experience? So you know, and there's a part of me that agrees.
Yes.
But then there's also a part of me that goes, well, actually, the role of writers is to try to present to the world the emotional experience of the other, whatever the other is.
Yes.
In a way to engage empathy and therefore engender understanding, which was, you know, what I wanted to do with this book, because I, while I'm not a parent of a child who is neuroatypical, although, you know, I'd have to say, you know, from what my understanding in terms of subject matter experts that have provided me with input as well as research is that normal is a construct.
No, it is a construct,
Typical is a construct. With all of my books, they are works of fiction.
Mm. Yep.
But I do try, as a storyteller, to reflect truth.
Yep.
And often the issues that society at large will sometimes turn away from.
Okay.
Because I really believe that, well, for me, of course, there is fiction that is there exclusively to entertain.
Yep.
And I'd like to think that my books are entertaining.
Yep.
But I always do tackle difficult, thorny, challenging issues with a view to pushing the boundaries of empathy and understanding. I like to think that as a function of reading this book, for those who perhaps for whoever in the world actually hasn't come across an unusual child, and I really do challenge whether there would be anyone because most people have some kind of experience in this space.
Yes, definitely.
I'd like to think that if for those who don't understand what it might be like to live within a familial context that's defined by additional needs, or in Jackson's case, neuroatypicality, then maybe they'd come out with just a little bit more empathy and a little bit more patience and a little more willingness to, when they see a child that they think immediately, oh gosh, what's that parent doing?
Yes.
Or he's acting out, or she's a real rat. Well, actually, and that was why I told the story through both Julia and Jackson.
Yes,
because it was when really good. When you're in Jackson's skin, of course, every choice that he makes makes perfect sense.
Yes,
to him.
Yes.
In fact, he has quite a strong moral compass.
Yes,
that
he
the
does.
World at large is not aware of.
Yes.
And so he makes these choices that seem to his parents and to his family and to his teachers and the world around him to be unusual.
Yes.
But it makes perfect sense to him. And I really wanted to convey that so that readers from who are perhaps yeah. not peace,
yes.
readers who are rectums,
yes.
would respond in perhaps a slightly more empathetic way.
I really
yeah,
hope so.
I really hope so. And I really want to say that if anyone starts this book, they have to finish it.
Yes, you have
right?
to finish
so
it.
So some books, whatever. But this book, if you don't finish it, you will not understand that empathy. So
no.
you have to finish the book.
Yeah.
Which is actually, I think, quite a good analogy for getting to know people, because when you first meet someone, you can have preconceived ideas of what that is. And then, you know, when yeah. you – a story that I always tell, which – will be hard for people to understand, but I was brought up in a really strict Christian home, really, really, really strict. And my parents were yeah. Afraid of other religions. Not afraid, that's the wrong word, wary.
Yeah.
Right? And we were brought up through the – so I was a Seventh-day Adventist through the Azaria Chamberlain thing, and people hated Seventh-day Adventists, and we
yes.
were a weird minority when Australia didn't respect that, right?
Mm.
And then a few years ago, my father went on a holiday to Fiji, had a heart attack, was in a hospital, I loosely say ICU, but the nurses all went on lunch at the same time. So, and they didn't have soap. So that was quite the eye-opener.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. in his hospital bed next to him was this lovely guy who was like 34, had had a stroke, was the breadwinner for his family of five, and he was a Muslim.
Yeah.
And Mum and Dad connected with him so much. Aww. And we were helping him and my brother was helping taking him to the toilet. And all of a sudden that religious difference between neither of us mattered, and Dad gave him money and paid for him to have help. And I just think once you meet someone, those boundaries are gone. Once you really meet
That's
them.
Right.
And they were both in the same position. They were both could die at any minute.
Mm.
And then that just – everything else fades away. So
yeah.
I think, like, they had to finish the end of that story. He couldn't just be in the hospital bed for an hour.
Yeah.
And you have to finish the end of this book.
Yes. My rule of thumb was you have to do 100 pages minus your age. So that's what I tell my girls. So I read that somewhere. So whenever they're like, I say, well, you've got to do 100 pages minus 9. And I do that myself. But you will not need that rule of thumb for this book. You'll just be, like, eating it up.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I really,
you wrote
really,
it so beautifully.
It's just,
you can tell you're really skilled. And we just finished writing our book and we're like, oh gee,
that's a real person who can write a book.
That's a real writer.
Yes.
That's what we were thinking.
Which is such a joy when you love reading and you find an author that takes you away.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's just that escape.
And we were right in the thick of our lockdown. So
right
I just read that on my bed, hiding from the family.
Yep.
Like if you could picture, just there was nothing else to do. So I was just lying on my bed.
I went outside with my puffy jacket on.
Oh, did you?
And I just read it because no one was disturbing me out there.
Yeah.
It was freezing cold.
Yeah.
But I really loved it. But what I wanted to ask you was, have you had any other people that read it that have been a little bit traumatized?
Or just us?
Or is it just me?
Yeah, no. Our friend Holly
yes.
Rang me. She read it, as you know, and she rang me to determine what the ending would be. She said to me, look, I just, you know, I need to know if it's going to be okay for Jackson.
Yes.
And it is okay for Jackson.
It is.
Yes, it is.
And it's okay for his family. It's not perfect.
No.
But life's not perfect.
No.
No. And, you know, I don't think fiction that ends with, everything tied up in neat bows is particularly representative of reality. But in terms of those that have been traumatized, if there have been any, they haven't told me about it.
Okay.
What I've seen, I've been really, I mean, obviously I listen to readers. Yes. And if anybody wants to provide me with constructive criticism, I'm so open to
it
because, you know, as a writer you have to learn.
I don't want to be open to it.
Or ask for
No, no. Oh. You pour so much of your heart into that. Don't criticize it.
We've got to get ready. Jeepers.
Mm. Yeah. But I've been heartened because I've had feedback from all over the world and I was very relieved by it. But, you know, quite heartening feedback. So a woman who, is definitely a P, wrote to me via my website and told me about her experience. And she said, her last line was, you know, my favourite genre is military fiction and I really loved your book.
I didn't even know military fiction. I didn't know
that's
that
quite
was
the genre.
That's right. I didn't know it existed either, but, you know.
There's that thing about someone writing a book for our families is awesome.
It is.
And the more the merrier. So thank you.
And the fact that we feel, well, I feel completely misunderstood. And to go, well, other people get that that's how we feel. And actually, I think, well, what's come out from the podcast is people want to not feel like that.
That's right.
So the more books that are like this that are just slotted in, you know, that's just a book that I read that was really engaging. It just changes your psyche a little bit. But what I wanted to say was that, I don't know if I'm giving this away so you can tell me if we can't put it in, but at some point in the book they go for an interview at a school. Oh, that got me.
Because you've done all
that. I have done all that. So we, my boys are at a private school because their diagnoses are tricky and it's hard to get funding. So the school they're at has heaps of funding, so we're there. But I have sat through.
Yeah, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I do have to pay for it. But I've sat through interviews like that. We did an interview at a private school here in Melbourne that have a beautiful philosophy. I loved it. I rang them up. Yes, we've got spots. I said, okay, they'd need a little bit of extra support. That's fine. We're really supportive. We're blah, blah. And then when I sent all their, reports through, they just never rang me back. They took my deposit, mind you. I got another friend to ring and say, do you have any spots? I have a boy going into year 7. Yes, we have spots. So I've really felt that interview and I was like, oh, this is great. The peas are going to love this.
I felt the
go ahead. Yeah, go.
Sorry. I was just going to say that, you know, part of the reason why that features, well, there's a bunch of reasons, but it's a really common experience.
Yes. It is. Really common.
Really common. And, it's not right.
No.
It's not okay.
Well, it's actually discrimination.
Correct. We all have to do better.
Yeah.
So that's what it's doing in there. And also, I wanted to at that point, the family does have for the first time ever a diagnosis.
Yes.
Right. And we won't say what it is.
Yes.
But it doesn't help them.
No.
That's the arbitrary reality of this experience is that sometimes it works for you in some contexts and other times it doesn't. And it's so hard to navigate all of that terrain.
It really, really, really is. It really is.
Yeah.
I loved the chaos of her mind because I feel like I was chaotic for many years.
Yep.
And even though I had diagnosis and I had plans, I could just identify with her just running from thing to thing to thing to thing and missing stuff. And I was just like, oh, that, I mean, were you watching me? Have you got a camera in my house? the husband relationship, the mother-in-law. I mean, I was just that.
Yeah, because life's tricky.
You fleshed it all out.
You really did.
The sibling.
Yeah.
You nailed it. right? Yeah, and everyone really was redeemable. I could cry. Everyone was redeemable within their own strife.
Nearly.
Nearly, except for the big
There's
clanger.
An amazing kick at the end. So.
I did not see that coming.
Neither did I. I was waiting for Maddie to get there. I was like, what are you up to? What are you up to? And then she's like, she rang me. She's like, oh, my God.
I was like, I did not see that coming.
No. And so, normally I do.
I don't
so
want to give that away.
You.
So well done.
No. It was just
my
a good little.
Gosh.
Yep.
Oh, thanks. And can I say, coming from you two ladies, this response is just so affirming, and I am so grateful to you both for reading it. I mean, I know that you are busy and you are Victorians of the year, or close to.
No. It wasn't.
You're,
it wasn't even that. It was just the lockdown time and we were anxious.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Lockdown was... Second lockdown was hard, as everyone knows. Who's listened to us, they can't bear to hear it anymore.
That's right.
I really enjoyed it, and I definitely wouldn't say that if I didn't. You know, I think this is a truth-telling podcast. I think people will find it confronting, and that's why I tell you, you have to get through.
Yes.
Because there were times when I thought, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
But, and that's probably because I don't relate so much to the mother, because I'm very, I don't know if I'm organized, but I'm different from her.
The difference for me was that I had diagnosis early. So I've never sort of been searching for it, apart from the intellectual disability. Right. And we got that when my daughter was 9. So I was sort of searching for that. But, you know, when you get a firm diagnosis when your children are babies, it's a different path.
Yes, it is a different. And but so different I have journey. More of her path
you have
with
more
that,
of that
because
path,
we're constantly going
But I
through
have
that.
The chaos. Chaotic thinking,
and
maybe,
missing
and just
things.
So
we all
busy.
Miss things as parents, and then we kick ourselves.
Yeah,
we're like, I should have done better. And I think that was nicely represented.
Yeah, and I thought the mother-in-law, I really loved
Thank
her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I also had an experience where my girls were at the end of primary school, and my husband was in New York for 2 weeks, and something happened at school.
So it's a
and
really...
I was on my own. And I was like, I think you've had a camera in my house.
Yeah, I haven't, but it's again.
And everything blew up and I was just managing that on my own and not doing a very good job.
Oh,
yeah.
Just so hard putting one foot in front of the other. And I mean,
and feeling
again,
like you're drowning.
And I mean, of course, this is not a rule at all, but the theme of, just like the theme of the school interview is very real, the theme of absent partners is real
it's
too.
It's pretty confronting.
And that is, you know, that's right, it's layer upon layer upon layer into this cheese effect, the holes line up and something happens.
Well... I really loved it, and I will definitely recommend people read it. I know people will have different responses. I'm not responsible for their response.
No.
But I thank you for talking to us, because it's been quite a thrill.
Yes.
Oh, it's been a thrill for me. Thank you.
I'm too nervous to ask more questions because I don't want to give it
all away. I don't know how to do it without giving away the plot.
Because we're not very good at this. But let's ask about the writing process.
Okay, all right, I'll do that. So as people that have just written a book, and we co-wrote a book, which is like, as my scholarship said, the worst group assignment ever.
Really?
And we didn't have a process because we've never written before, but we weren't writing a novel. We were writing our stories, so we didn't have to do much research.
Yes.
So very different. But I still found it really quite draining. And when it finished, I didn't feel like it was over.
No.
I found it really hard to get out of the mindset of writing, if you know what I mean.
And the editor said, just put it down now.
She's like, you've done.
And we were like, because we could keep adding chapters left, right and centre.
I don't know, because you just think this is never going to be good enough. What's the writing process like for you?
Got a couple of things to say there. So I wonder whether in terms of your book, I mean, I have written one work of nonfiction. It's memoir. It was my first book. And I found it quite draining as well. And I think I felt drained because I was constrained by the truth.
Yeah.
To the letter truth.
Yes.
You know, I had to be sure that what I was saying was representative of reality.
Which
because
is true.
Very
and
dangerous.
We were trying to, we were protecting
our
children
families as well.
Our families.
Yes.
That's probably why.
Yep. So, So with my memoir, I had my husband, my family, my former small rural community to protect all of that.
Yes.
But then when I turned to fiction, the writing process was quite liberating.
Okay.
I didn't have to protect anyone.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Although you will still, as a fiction writer, have people come up to you and say, oh, you know, that character in your latest novel, is that so-and-so? And, of yep. course, you know,
no.
it's inevitably not so-and-so. No. I mean, my mother rang me the other day. She'd just finished An Unusual Boy and she said, so, am I dead, Granny?
Oh yes, dead granny.
About, no, you're not dead granny.
Oh, there's so many lovely things in the book.
Yes,
just yeah, it's just really, really well written. So yep. It's not your full time job being a writer.
No, as anyone who writes fiction, apart from the superhuman big names, will tell you,
yeah.
in Australia, it's very hard to make a living out of writing. So. You know, I think my best gig was the $100 poem for Elizabeth Cuffy back in 1982.
When you compare it to today's money.
You need to publish it then.
I should have invested that $100.
You should.
Yes. Spend it on true.
In a little company called Apple.
But, you know, I do have a role in the not-for-profit sector that I love, and I don't want to leave that. And, you know, I mean, one day maybe I would be a full-time writer, but for now I just plug away at it really slowly. But it is a slow process and quite frustrating at times.
Mm.
So I relate to your experience of writing the book, but I also find it really therapeutic. Did you find that? Did you
yes.
find... it in some way cathartic to get it out?
Some of it.
Yeah, I really did. I love writing. Mandy probably doesn't.
I just wanted to do a podcast.
And I wanted to write a book.
So yes. I just want to talk. So for me, people have been telling me for years, you need to write a book, you need to write a book. And I was like, I just don't have the concentration span for it, or I've got low confidence in my writing ability. So, yeah. But Kate... was great. And so I would just pick, like, she'd start it and I'd just go off.
Yeah.
How do you break it down? Do you have specific days you write? Do you do it just in chunks of time?
I wish that I rose at 4 a.m., drank a perfect macchiato. and, you know, when the moon is transiting Venus, I can sort of channel the inspiration. It's never like that. I have been known to write in the Woolies car park.
Yeah.
You know, I steal moments of time. I have three kids, you know, an almost full-time job.
Yep.
A husband whom I neglect routinely.
Yeah.
You know, friends. You know what it's like.
Yep.
So unfortunately, I'm not as rigorous as I should be with some kind of writing routine. But then when I do, you know, when Jackson came to me, for example, when I was channeling Jackson's voice, I just had to get it out
yes.
in the middle of the night, and I would tap it out, and then I'd go back to sleep, and then I'd wake up the next morning and have a look at that and think, gosh, wow, okay. That works. It's almost a subconscious process. It's definitely deploying a different part of the brain, I think. Do you find that podcasting? Are you in the zone?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I feel alive.
You do. And it's nice to be creative in a different way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how'd you come up with the title?
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking.
Well, it's only because we had to come up with the title, and I wouldn't have known that otherwise. But I think, wow, somebody came up with that title.
Yes.
Yeah. So I came up with that title. Ah. Initially, the working title was The Day After Mother's Day, because that's the day on which an incident occurs at school involving Jackson and his newfound friend Digby.
Yep.
That is quite serious and results in the police being called. And so that is the grenade moment for the family. So that seemed appropriate, except I knew it wasn't right because I thought this story isn't exclusive readers will be women, but this is a title that men could and possibly even should.
Really. Yes, definitely.
And so I thought it was a slightly too feminized the day after Mother's Day.
Yes,
it
feels like right.
A Mother's Day title.
Yep.
And then I moved to Raising Jackson, which sounded a bit like Raising Arizona.
Yes.
Yes.
So at that point, I just one day I thought, oh, well, the characters keep calling him atypical or neurodivergent or neurodiverse or unusual. And, of course, this is what, you know, the characters and many, many people, so many Ps go through in life. So here, let's use that, an unusual boy.
Mm.
But, of course, the point of the novel is his unusualness is also his greatest strength and greatest beauty as well.
Yeah, and being unusual is actually usual.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Nana Pam says there's no such thing as normal. It's just a cycle on the washing machine.
Yeah, brilliant line.
Yeah, so true.
I really loved her.
Yeah, I really loved her too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for giving up your time. We did, in all honesty, dick you around a little bit because we had all these things happening, but now we've given you all ours for an hour or two.
Yes.
And it's been lovely.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you, ladies. You can dick me around any time.
Where can everyone find you? Do you have a website or something or...?
Yeah, I do have a website. It's fionahiggins.com.au.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So everyone can go and find you.
We'll put it in the show notes, and I'm sure that your publisher sent me where the book is and stuff, but yeah.
Yes.
So can you buy it from you or do you?
Oh, please, no, don't buy it from me. I don't. You can buy it from bookstores or Booktopia is.
Yeah, Booktopia is good.
Thank you, Fiona. We'll send the peas to every bookshop around the world.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Go buy it, peas. Read it. Tell us what you think.
And then maybe even ring into us and give us a speak pipe. And tell us what you think. Did you feel anxious? And
Or did you love it? Yeah.
Could you find yourself in it like I could?
Yeah.
Could you not, like Kate, in some ways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So read it and see what you think.
And then we can pass that all on to Fiona too.
Yeah. And maybe one day we'll see you when the borders open and we can get to Sydney.
Oh, absolutely. I'm coming to your book launch next July.
Oh, yay! Oh, we can't even imagine.
No, we can't.
That will be so amazing. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thank you,
please.
See you, bye.
Hang on, you got to rate and review.
Oh, yeah, rate and review.
And
thank you
to the ACAR supporters.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.